Heavenly Father, we're thankful yet again that you provided another time for us to look at your scriptures, and Lord, for you to speak to us. Heavenly Father, for us to understand your love, your grace, and your mercy, and for us also to identify, Heavenly Father, the miracles that you do within our lives. I want to thank you for your blessings, Lord, and just pray that you would be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For this afternoon's meditation, turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 7. Luke, chapter 7. I'd like to read the first, perhaps, 23 verses. Now, when he had ended all these sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when he came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying, Lord, trouble not yourself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter under my roof. Therefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say to one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and he turned about him and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent returned to the house, found the servant whole who had been sick. And it came to pass the day after that when he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and he said unto her, weep not. And he came and he touched the barrier, and they that bare him stood still, and he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the regions round about. And the disciples of John showed him all of these things. And John called unto him two of the disciples, set them to Jesus, saying, art thou he that should come, or we look for another? And when the men were come unto him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or we look for another? And in the same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues, and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answered and said unto them, go your way, and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Unto there I wish to read this chapter. I believe it was the beginning of this week. I'm going to tell you how the Lord led me to this chapter. The beginning of this week, we received an email. If you're on the email list, giving us an update on Sister Maria Stojkovic. And I just would like to read that. July 8th, 2019 was the update. Update on Mom. Today, Mom had an appointment to see radiologists to go over her brain MRI results. We all went together to be there when Mom gets her news. We were completely in shock when the doctors said that her tumors almost disappeared. Before gamma knife and radiation, she was diagnosed with 17 tumors in her brain. And today, we compared scans, and you can barely see a couple of them. Praise the Lord. We are so excited for this news. Thank you for all your prayers for your mom. You know, I know individually, collectively, as a church, and perhaps in prayer meetings, there have been a lot of prayers petitioned on her behalf. You know, my wife and I pray for her every in the mornings as well, and the family. And when I got this and I was reading this, there was a couple things that came to mind. First of all, we say, praise God, thank you, Lord. And I thought of, because there's so many prayers that have gone out, the portion of Scripture in James where it says that the prayer of a righteous man avails much. And God hears the prayers of those pleading. As we sung, he gladly gives the prayers we offer hearing. Now, the statements I'm going to make is not going to be a blanket statement across, because we know that there are many prayers that have been said and that haven't been answered. But my thoughts for this afternoon is, how many times, and I know we said this many times in Bible class, when a miracle actually happens, do we actually realize that it's a miracle and not just take it for granted as if it's something that just happened? It's easy to say that, you know, the chemo's doing its job, that medication is curing her. And we know doctors get the credit. And then we can come up with other scientific advancements that have actually helped in this process. Modern technology gets credit maybe 99% of the time. But when you really think about it, who does the credit belong to? God gives and God takes. And many a times we like to say, yeah, we've gone through this type of this treatment or that treatment. But you see, without God's intervention, without God's hand, and without God's plan and God's will, no matter what we do, if it's not God's plan, it's not God's will, the medication won't help, the treatment won't help, and it won't happen. And as a result, there's a lot of heartache. There's a lot of sorrow. And then as I was thinking more about miracles, and we read, you know, if we think of all these that we read this afternoon, the centurion, here's a man. He was a captain of an army of 100 people, 100 soldiers. And he had the faith in God that he said, you know what, don't come to my house, don't come in. All you have to do is say the word. And this astonished Christ. And he said, look, can you see the faith that this man has? There are many other scriptures where Christ has performed many miracles. And there was one I failed to write it down, where he says, Lord, if you will. And he said, I will. And you see, so miracles won't happen unless God wills it to happen. But I want to contrast that with something else. I want to contrast that with what people today, magic. Oh, it magically happened. Oh, this magically and this magically or that magically happened. So I did a little bit of research, or a little bit of study so much on magic. Because this is the contrast. When people say, oh yeah, you know, if we have ever seen a magician, and in that realm there's actually two types. There's those that we call illusionists, because, you know, you see those that have the street performers, right? They've got the cards, and they say, okay, pick a card, and then they go through it, and they say, okay, then he pulls up the card that you had. Or, you know, those little kids are walking around, and he'll come around, and he'll put a coin behind his ear. These are illusionists. And this is what, Christ wasn't an illusionist. Christ, what you saw is what it is. But then there's the deeper, the more serious of the magic that Scripture talks about. And there's a couple of there are a couple of things that happen. We know that, and we can start go back from the beginning. Moses and Pharaoh, when they wanted to leave, there was kind of a showdown. And he called for the sorcerers and the magicians, and because Pharaoh took his staff and threw it to the ground, and there was a snake, and a snake came out. And then their sorcerers took their staffs. There was a bunch of them. They threw them down, and they turned into snakes too. And Scripture says that the staff that Moses threw down that turned into a snake gobbled up all the other ones. So we see that even in the deeper realm, there are some of the magicians that try to imitate and mimic what God has as well. But if you read, it's always God was always the one, or his strength and his power always was the one that was on top. I'm thinking about the writing on the wall. Remember the story with Daniel? Belteshazzar, there was a writing on the wall, and they wanted to say, hey, anybody that can interpret this dream to me, I'll give them a portion of my kingdom. And all his sorcerers and his magicians, Scripture says he came, and nobody could interpret what was written on the wall. And they called for Daniel, and Daniel interpreted the dream to him. I'm thinking about Joseph. There was a similar situation with Joseph. The king had a dream and couldn't interpret it, so he calls his magicians and his sorcerers to interpret the dream. And they couldn't do it, and then they finally call for Joseph, and Joseph interprets the dream. Only because there was I believe it was the butler that had remembered when they were in prison that he interpreted the dreams for them. And getting into that type of environment, if you will. Deuteronomy 18 says, "Let no one be found among you who sacrifices their sons or daughters in the fire, who practice divinations or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcrafts, or casts spells, or who has a medium or spirits, or who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord." Scripture is clear and it's strong. But the difference between somebody something that's magical or you call magic and a miracle is one's an illusion and one is reality. And as I was thinking about this update, I thought to myself, how many times do I take for granted what the miracles that God has performed for me or for those that are around me? And that's my message for this afternoon. Is my challenge is for you to think of the things that happen in your life. Do they just happen because we've done something? We've talked about, Brother Gary had the message this morning. Just, is it because we're doing what the doctor says? Who put that in the mind of the doctors? Who allows that to happen? But I can't say that's a blanket statement across, because we know there's many experiences where we've asked for miracles. We've asked, and everyone's been praying, but because of God and his sovereignty and his permissive will, he has another plan. He has something better in plan. There's about 40 or so miracles that are recorded in Scripture. Of healing. But there are so much more that has happened. And then the contrast with those that think that things are just done magically. Apostle Paul, when he was in Ephesus, He was challenged with a lot of witchcraft and idolatry. I'm reminded of the portion of Scripture where I believe it was in Acts, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they were able to perform the miracles, and there was one there, Simon, who wanted to do these things, and he wanted to give them money so that he can do it. And Peter says, "You're still in your sins." See, one, miracles glorify God, magic doesn't. So I'm going to challenge you as we leave this place today, that when certain things come your way, whether it be healing or other things, that we look into that and consider that as a miracle, and that's a miracle that is from God. And not look at just these other things that have, these are secondary things that cause the good to happen. But if God allows it, it's a miracle from God. May God bless His word. I just wanted to have a little short sermon, something for us to think about.